This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, June 14th, 2024. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, how unions in Europe are planning to fight the rise of far-right parties after the EU Parliament elections. The Labour Start report about union events and singing.
People all around the world are getting organized. You're bound to lose. You fascists bound to lose.
This is Radio Labour.
It will be more difficult for us, trade unions and progressive forces in Europe, to get our policy agreed.
Jan-Willem Houdrian is the General Secretary of the European Federation of Public Service Unions. EPSU represents some 8 million public service workers across Europe. I reached him at his office in Brussels as the Federation was preparing for its 11th Congress, which will be held in Bucharest, June 18 to 20, 2024. We talked just after the results of the European Parliament election showed a surprising and alarming rise in influence by the far right. I asked him if the rise of the far right parties will have an effect on peace, equality and freedom for workers in Europe.
The results of the European elections were shocking. We saw the far right move ahead and became the first party in the elections in countries like Austria, France, Italy, and second in Germany, the Netherlands, in the region I live in Flanders, and it even made gains in local elections. So this was a shocking moment and a shocking moment of understanding what we are up against. In terms of huge gains in the European Parliament, not so much, because there were also parties which lost. The Hungarian party of Orban, for example, didn't so well in Hungary, and neither did the PAS party in Poland. We did see in the European Parliament elections that the Christian Democrats increased their vote somewhat, the Social Democrats kept steady, and the Greens and the Liberals were the parties that lost. The result will nonetheless have a pull effect and push a lot of policies to the right. And that especially will have an impact on how the European Parliament will position itself on issues of democracy, on issues of peace, and more particular in terms of equality and rights, especially in terms of the discussions around migration, but also the environment. It will be more difficult for us as trade unions and progressive forces in Europe to get our policy agreed. Of course, in the end, this will also depend on the composition of the council, and certainly on the composition of the council, that is the heads of government and ministers of governments we see making the decisions about policy. Most worried I would be for our members in the LGBT plus community, for women's rights, but also for the Roma, the migrants. The far right is not about inclusive workplaces, for example. We already see in countries where the far right is supporting more center-right governments an attack on trade union rights. Think of Finland. Think of the UK, though not a member of the European Union, but also the right to protest is attacked in the UK, in France, in the Netherlands, in Belgium. So yes, the results of the parliament elections will have an impact in democracy and how we function in society.
What can labor unions do as the far-right parties increase their influence in Europe?
It will be important for the trade union movement in Europe to work closely together, to even more invest educating members at the workplace, to be close to members, to explain the impact of the policies of the far right. For example, far right voted against the adequate minimum wage directive in the European Parliament, and being able to explain consequences of those policies to our members and workers at the workplace, I think will be very important. And of course, we will do our research, our work with other forces, with social movements. In France, unions are working together to ensure that the elections, which are now forthcoming, from the president of France, has called for elections after disastrous results for his party and the increase of the far right, And so the unions are mobilizing together and with social movements to ensure that there is a turnaround in those elections and the far right is defeated. So working together will be important for the union movement. Reaching out to social movements is going to be crucial. But in the end, we expect, of course, the political parties to address the issues which are important for workers, though, to advocate for better wages, better working conditions, for investment in public services. I haven't mentioned that so much, but one of the issues is that seems to be also a vote of the countryside against urban centers, with public service in the countryside disappearing. Your local bus line, your local post office, your local bank, your local hospital, those are disappearing from the countryside. And of course, those issues are a real concern to workers and those communities that need to be addressed and ensure that public services are available, accessible, affordable.
One of the themes of the Congress to be held in Bucharest is reclaiming and strengthening public services. Why is this an issue? How much reclaiming of privatized public services is needed? And how can the reclaiming be done?
One sector, for example, on which we focus currently and which also will be addressed in the Congress is, for example, the care sector, or the broader the health and care sector. We see a lot of commercialization of health, but more specifically of long-term care in Europe. You have that tendency also in Canada and other countries. As trade unions, we want to make sure that those services remain public services, remain publicly funded, and especially are not commercialized, not made for a profit. Your listeners might remember that we had the big scandals around Orpea a couple of years ago. That company was corrupt, was sacking trade union rights, and was the example of for-profit commercialization of the elderly in France and in other parts of Europe. It's a multinational company. When it went bust, it had to be taken over by public finance institutions because it is a public service. And it's one of the areas where we want to ensure that the public hand is coming back. Other areas where we have seen taking back of private enterprise into public hands is, for example, the water sector, also the energy sector in the UK. As you might know, Labour has a project to create also a public company for energy, and voters in the UK will be asked on the 4th of July what they think about this project, and it looks like they are very positive to it. So a lot of reclaiming public services is needed across a broad range of public services. I would even add public banks to that, to bring public banks back in many countries as a way to also invest, for example, the green and digital transitions in a way that it works for workers and our communities, not for the business interest. So a lot of reclaiming needs to be done, but in a broad range of activities, many unions, social movements are working on this. In that sense, I'm actually quite optimistic. After the pandemic, after the cost of living crisis we've seen following the war in the Ukraine, I think there is a better understanding how important public services are. And that there may be a last comment on the earlier discussion we had, Mark, with regard to the far right increase in Europe. The far right claims they will be increasing spending on health or care about public services in the countryside, but their actual programs are more about austerity, more about cutting expenses, and that will leave many people in the cold.
You can find more information about how EPSU fights for working people at epsu.org. Here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Star correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section included links to coverage of International Domestic Workers' Day statements and events from around the world. Domestic workers, the vast majority of whom are women, face huge challenges in organizing, even in those countries where it is legally possible for them to become union members. often working alone and dependent on their employer for food and accommodation as well as wages. Domestic workers are vulnerable to abuses ranging from sexual harassment through to wage theft. And, of course, in many countries, a large proportion of domestic workers are also migrant workers who face deportation at the whim of their employer. Despite all this, domestic workers continue to win organizing victories in many countries. For more about these workers, see the website of the International Domestic Workers Federation. Also at a top story this week were the revelations regarding the illegal surveillance of the president of the PIT-CNT in Uruguay by the country's presidential security chief. In a country with strong and recent memories of life under a dictatorship, this news has set off some very loud alarm bells. Also in our top stories section are a victory won by the Building Workers International in the struggle against the military dictatorship in Myanmar, the case for an independent labor movement in Singapore, and an analysis of the reasons for a surge in strike activity by Chinese workers. But my favorite top story of the week is actually multiple stories as we see reaction to the International Trade Union Confederation's Global Labor Rights Index from unions around the world. On our Working Women news page, you'll find details of a new round of pay equity organizing in New Zealand, this time by care workers, a strike by women rural development workers in India, all of them women, over health and safety issues resulting from them having to work in temperatures of up to 50 degrees, and a union-led Africa-wide effort to recruit more women to positions in the mining industry. Stories appearing on our health and safety page in Newswire this week included the health and safety impact of the explosion in precarious work in the United Kingdom, a union campaign to raise awareness about the danger of mpox in South Africa, and a joint Building Workers International government effort to measure the impact of heat stress on migrant workers in Qatar. Not unexpectedly, heat and its effects on workers remains a theme on our health and safety pages. Another example of this being the work done by construction unions in Austria in concert with employers and government to track the impact of heat stress on buildings trades workers. If nothing else, all these stories make clear that global warming is having a huge and growing impact on work and workers. Our current photo of the week comes to us from Nepal, where the new executive of the National Beauticians Union of Nepal met for the first time last week in Janakpur. The relatively new union is affiliated with GAFANT, the largest central labor body in Nepal. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is the Resistance Revival Chorus with All You Fascist Bound to Lose.
People all around the world are getting organized. You're bound to lose, you fascist bound to lose. People every color working side by side in every town and city. Breaking down the lies, they're smashing fascists. You fascist bound to lose. Stop us, this one thing we know, ugliness, impunity, and greed have got to go. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose. We're fighting you at every step, won't stop until we throw you in the place where you belong. With your friends in tow, you're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose. All you fascists bound to lose. Bound to lose. You're bound to lose. You fascists bound to lose.
And that's it, international labor news you can use. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.